Settled in, get your Bible in your hand, and we're going to open up this evening to Exodus chapter 32. Be back in the Old Testament, back toward the beginning of your Bible, and we're going to be in Exodus chapter 32 tonight. Give everybody a moment to turn there, and I said that I had given my last announcement, but there was one very important thing that I forgot to mention, and that is that this morning, if you were here this morning, we did take up a special love offering to go toward the need there in Kenya for the insurance on their van. As Spencer Smith mentioned to us, there's a van that a couple of these churches and some of these men of God over there use to be able to travel to other areas to preach the gospel. They use it to pick up kids and adults and others to come to church. And so it is a very important, very vital part of their ministry over there in Kenya. They can't drive it if they can't get it insured, and they have to pay it all up front by Valentine's Day. So we were able this morning, and I might be a little off on my number. I'm looking for Courtney. She might know. She had to take one of the kids back, I believe. She had to go that way. All right. I believe I saw the check, but my memory ain't that good. But I believe it was $648 that went toward the cost of the insurance for that van. So if you remember, $1,200 is the total cost. So even just a little old church here in Knoxville, Tennessee, praise the Lord that God has blessed us. Praise the Lord He's given us enough where we can give that much back to the work of the Lord. So I thank you for giving, and don't quit praying. Keep on praying for Brother Spencer. Keep on praying for the work that he presented to us this morning. But if you're there in Exodus 32, I'm going to begin reading here in just a moment down in verse number 30. But before I read there, I want to give you a little bit of an idea as to what is going on here in this chapter. You see, back at the beginning of Exodus 32, Moses is up there on Mount Sinai, and he's talking with the Lord. He's receiving the Ten Commandments. And yet, while he's up there on the mountaintop having camp meeting, the people of God are down there at the bottom of Mount Sinai getting into all kinds of sin and all kinds of idolatry. And of course, most of us, we're familiar with the story. We know that down there at the bottom of the mountain, the people began to demand gods like they had back in Egypt. They said, "We want the world's gods. We want to worship the same way we used to worship." And so Aaron fell in amongst them, and he fashioned for them a golden calf. And they all began to bow down and worship that golden calf. And about the time that took place, Moses up there on the mountaintop talking with the Lord said, "Get thee down, the people have sinned against me." And sure enough, Moses came down off the mountain with Joshua right there around him, and they got down there and they saw the dancing and they saw the rock music playing and they saw the people bowing down to that old golden calf, and he broke those Ten Commandments. God began to pour out His wrath amongst the people that had sinned against Him. And he began to pronounce his judgment against the idolatry of the people. But as we come here to verse number 30, we find something rather out of the ordinary. We find something a little unusual taking place. You see, normally it's us as mankind that is telling the Lord, "You need to judge that fellow." Normally it's sinners like you and me saying, "God, they've done me wrong, and they're a bunch of sinners, and you need to end them." And it's the Lord saying, "No, I'll be merciful." It's the Lord saying, "No, I'm going to be long-suffering." But as we come here to our text tonight, the Lord has said to Moses, "Get thee out from amongst the people. Get away from them, because I'm about to destroy all the people of Israel." But about that time, Moses lifts up his voice in prayer, and he begins to beseech God that He would have mercy on His people. And I want you to see that prayer of Moses beginning here in verse number 30. And I want to take a look here at what he has to say to the Lord. In verse 30, the Bible says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin. And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me,
him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the chance to stand and preach from the Word of God. And Lord, I know that this book that I'm preaching from tonight, Father, it's not like any other book. Lord, I've read a lot of the books that the authors in this world have written. I've seen what they've put in the newspapers and in the magazines, Lord, and I've found that every single one of them is just wanting. But Lord, when I come to your book, when I come to this Bible, I find a well that never runs dry. I find a treasure, Father, that never ends. And I thank you tonight, God, that you've given us your precious and holy Word. Now, Lord, tonight as we preach from it, I pray that the Word of God would have free course to move and work in each and every heart that's gathered here. Lord, may we limit the distractions in this place. May we take our mind off the cares of this life and the affections of this world. And, oh Lord, may we set our affection on things above. Lord, draw us into your presence. Do a work, Father, that I cannot do. Do a work, Father, that no man can do. Lord, I pray that you would change us and conform us more and more to the image of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, bless now, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Guide my thoughts and my words. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. If you were to go back in history and go back beyond the creation of the sun, the moon, and the stars, beyond the very creation of the universe that they dwell in, you would find that way back there, beyond those six days of creation, that seventh day of rest, you would find that there was only one thing there at a certain point. You say, what is it? God. They asked an old black preacher one time, they said, where was the Lord before the earth? Where was the Lord before the universe? And he said, the Lord was in his glory. And I say to you tonight, before there was ever an earth, before there was ever a sun, before there was ever a star in the sky, the Lord was there. Amen. He is the beginning and the end. He had no beginning. He had no creation. And he will never cease to be. He is God. And yet it occurred to me as I thought about that here this week that the Lord at a certain point must have had a conversation with himself. There wasn't anybody else there to converse with. At a certain time, I mean, there weren't even any angels. There weren't even any cherubim or any seraphim. It was just the Lord and it was just the Holy Trinity, that Godhead, conversing with himself. And I imagine that, you know, the Lord knowing all things, he knew that he would create man. He knew that he would fashion this world. And he knew that man would sin in the Garden of Eden and that we would be found in the lost condition where the Lord found every one of us. And so I imagine there must have been a time where the Lord said to himself, how am I going to get a hold of man? How am I going to communicate with my creation? How will I be able to draw them to me that they might know me, the true and living God, the one who made them and who so desires to save them? Well, you know, the Lord, he knows everything. And I suppose the Lord probably thought to himself, well, I could make a movie for all of them to see. You know, everybody likes movies. As a matter of fact, Christians today, I believe far too often they've given up reading the Bible and they're far more entertained by what Hollywood has to say about the Bible. I like what old Billy Kelly said one time. Brother Vance Havner said one time. He said, Hollywood is no more qualified to handle the Bible than a gangster is to lecture on honesty. Amen. And yet Christians, I'm talking about God's people today, oftentimes they get all their information about the Lord from what some Hollywood director wants to say about him. You see, the Lord could have very easily made a movie to show the whole world right there on the screen, right there in Technicolor. He could have showed the whole world the message that he wanted to give them. And yet, you know something? That would have left out a lot of people. That would have left out all those people that lived before the 20th century. That would have left out all those people in nations who maybe have never seen a movie and can't afford to be able to buy a movie. And so sure enough, God didn't put His message in a movie. You know something else? If the Lord really wanted to, He could have gotten a hold of His creation. He could have spoken to them, each and every one individually. He could have spoken audibly to us. He could have come to you, Brother Gary, and told you everything He wanted you to know, and He could have spoken to you, met you right there in your room, and had a conversation with you to tell you everything He wanted for you. Sister Joyce, if the Lord so wanted, He could have gotten a hold of you as a little girl, and He could have sat right down there beside you and expounded to you all the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. And yet He didn't. You know why He didn't? I don't necessarily know all the answers, but I believe I have an idea as to why. Because if He simply spoke it to us, we'd forget what He said, wouldn't we? We wouldn't be able to digest it continually. It would begin to grow further and further and further in the past. And so He didn't make it a movie. He didn't simply come and whisper His message into our ears. No, can I tell you what God ultimately decided to do? He decided to write a book. He decided to be an author. He decided to write down for every man, every woman, and every child exactly what He wants us to know. And He's placed it here in the Scriptures, the Word of God that I preach to you from tonight. See, the truth of the matter is that the Bible says on three different occasions, three times in the Word of God, we are told of the word author. And can I say that every single one of those times, it only refers to one man. It doesn't refer to Isaiah, though he wrote down the words in the book of Isaiah. It does not refer to the Apostle Paul, though Paul was certainly the human penman that wrote much of the New Testament. But when the Bible seeks to use the word author, it does not speak of man as the author, but it speaks of the Lord as the author and the finisher of our faith. I believe that's what Moses gets across here in his prayer. That may not have been the main point of what Moses was saying, but it is certainly taught here in this passage. I want you to look at what Moses says there in verse number 32. He said, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of what? Out of thy book, which thou hast written." Look there in verse number 33. The Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of what? My book." You know, something occurred to me as I read that this week. It occurred to me that the Lord likes books. I want to tell you something. I like books. Amen. As a matter of fact, I've never met a preacher in my life that doesn't like books. See, Sarah gets kind of annoyed with me from time to time. I'm going to tell on her a little bit. Because if I go in a bookstore, I'm going to buy something. Some of y'all may not like that, but I'm like that. If I go into a bookstore, especially a Christian bookstore, now I ain't going after the old Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer junk over there, but you find me a good book by one of those old saints of God, hey, you send me in there and let me get in an old used bookstore and find me some of those good old books by those old theologians and those old preachers. I buy them. Listen, they don't even have to put them on sale for me. I'll buy every last one of them I can get my hands on. I love to read books. And I say to you tonight, it thrills my soul to know that the God of heaven, the God that made me, the God that designed the universe, the God that sent His Son for the sins of all mankind, is a God who writes books. He's an author. And so tonight, with that thought in mind, I want to preach to you very quickly on this subject, the Lord's library. The Lord's library. See, I believe it goes without saying that if the Lord has written books, and if the Lord has books, and if His books are not all found on this earth, then He must have Himself some books up there in glory. Amen. And I believe by the time we get done with the message tonight, it is my hope that I will have proven to everyone in this room that the Lord certainly has a library in glory. He certainly has some books that are contained in our heavenly home. And tonight I simply, with the help of the Lord, I want to take a look here very quickly at the Lord's library. I want to show you first of all tonight that I know, though I do not know of all the books that are in his library, I do know of three books that are in his library. And I want to show you those three very quickly. I want to say first of all tonight that the Lord has a book in his library that is a book of direction. It's a book that has the sole purpose of directing mankind unto him. It is a book that serves the great purpose of taking an old lost sinner, a lost man on his way to a devil's hell, and changing his direction to heading toward Calvary, to heading toward glory. Amen. And I want to say tonight that that book is none other than this King James Bible that I'm preaching to you from tonight. And I do mean King James Bible. I'm not talking about the NIV. I'm not talking about the ASV or the ESV or the NAACP or any other alphabet you can put together. I'm talking about the King James 1611 Authorized Version. I want to say tonight, praise God, I'm preaching from God's book of direction. Over in Isaiah 34 and verse 16, Isaiah said it like this. He said, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read." Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Now, do you know who Isaiah was preaching that message to? He wasn't preaching it to the angels. He was not preaching it to the seraphim and to the cherubim. When he said, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read," he was talking to men and women just like you and me. Now you know what? That tells me something tonight. That may not mean much to y'all, but it means something to me. Because if he could say to sinners like you and me, if he could say to regular men and regular women like you and me, if he could say to us, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read," then that must mean we are able to find it. Amen. I want to get this across to you. If God's words are just some imaginary mystical originals that we can't put our hand on, then we are of all men most miserable. We have no basis for our faith. We have no basis for meeting here tonight if God's word are just some nameless, shapeless, imaginary original documents. I want to make that very clear to you. But I'll go a step further. I want to say tonight that if God's words are just any old document, if they're just any old Bible, and it doesn't matter what the words are, and it doesn't matter about the differences, then we have no room for our faith either. Because when he said, "Seek ye out the book," what he was saying is to the exclusion of every other book. In other words, you couldn't, if you're going to seek out the book of the Lord and read it, you can't just go picking up any old book and call it the words of the Lord. Amen. You just can't, by the way, today, you can't just go down there to Cedar Springs Christian Bookstore. You can't go down there to Lifeway and just pick you up any old Bible and trust that it's going to be the Bible. You've got to seek for it. You've got to search for it. And yet I want to say tonight, praise God, he said if you would seek it, you could find it. If you would seek after it, you'd get a hold of something that you can put in your hand, that you can set in your lap, that you can follow along during the preaching, that you can read and that you can study and that you can memorize and that you can direct your life according to. What I'm trying to say to you tonight, friend, is that I believe up there in the Lord's library, and praise God, down here in Old Ball Road Baptist Church tonight, we have got God's book, and it's God's book of direction. I want to tell you tonight, friend, this Bible right here, it was written that you might be led to God. It was written that you might know the gospel. It was written so you can live the Christian life. It was written so you can have reward at the judgment seat of Christ. I say to you tonight, friend, this Bible that I've preached to you from is God's book of direction. Can I show you one more thing about it before I move on? I just want to go ahead and say tonight that it ain't our book of direction. And it's not my book of direction, but it's God's book of direction. He said, "Seek ye out the book of the who?" Not the book of man. Not the book of the preacher. Not the book of the Baptist church. He said, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord." You know what Moses said back there in Exodus 32? Oh, over there he said, "Lord, if not blot me, I pray thee, out of I like it. thy book. You know what the Lord said? He said, Moses, when time comes to go blotting names out of the book, I'll blot them out of my book. He said, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And I say to you tonight, it ain't up to you and me to pick a Bible. It ain't up to you and me what our opinion, what our thoughts are. It's up to us to find what God has said and what God has written and to go with His Word. If we're going to get the right direction, we're going to have to find the book of direction. Amen. And praise God, in His library, He's got a book of direction. Over in Psalm 119, He said, Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. But praise God, I've got a copy of it with me tonight. Amen. I tell you, in the Lord's library, He has a book of direction. But in the Lord's library, I want to say secondly tonight, He has a book of documentation. He has a book that has documented every deed, every thought, every action of every man, woman, and child who's ever lived on this earth. Over in Revelation chapter 20, speaking of the great white throne judgment, the Apostle John said it like this. He said, And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And get this, and the books were opened. And they were judged, every man, out of the books, according to their works. I say tonight, just as God has a book of direction, I believe if you got to go through the Lord's library, you'd find a book, or rather books, of documentation. In other words, can I say for every lost person, hey, maybe you're sitting in here tonight and you're lost. Can I make one thing real certain, real clear to you tonight if you're lost in here? The Lord knows everywhere you've been. He knows every word that's ever come out of your mouth. By the way, Jesus said, there's coming a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. It said one of these days we're going to give account for every idle word that men shall speak, whether they be good or whether they be evil. He knows your words. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've said. He knows what you've done. He knows what you've thought. And He knows your motive for doing it. What a frightening thought tonight. I mean, what a terrifying thought that a holy God, a God who has never once sinned, a God who cannot even be tempted with sin, would look down and look in His book and see all that you and I have done. And I say tonight, if you're sitting in here and you're lost, He has got a document. He has documented, He has recorded every sin, every transgression, every indiscretion that you've ever committed. God has recorded every last one. I remember years ago, I was speaking to a man right on his doorstep. And I got to talking to him about this very thing, got to talking to him about his sin, got to talking to him about his need for salvation. And this is what he said, or at least something along these lines. He said, Well, I suppose I'll just have to die and await my day in court. I suppose I'll have to wait for my chance to be able to justify myself in the sight of God. Can I say to you tonight, there is some truth to what he said. The Bible said it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And can I say to you tonight, if you die lost, then you will have a day of judgment. You will have your day in court, and you will have your opportunity to justify yourself. You want to know what the problem is, though? You can't do it. You're not dealing with a fallible judge. You're not dealing with a lawyer who can swindle and who can fool the jury. No, friend, when you make it into God's courtroom, you're dealing with a being who knows everything about you. He has numbered every hair on your head. He knows where every leaf has fallen on the ground. He knows everything you've thought and everything you've done and everywhere you've been. The God of that Bible has documented some things in some books. And he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. You say, where are those books? I believe they're in God's library. Amen. He's got Him a library. And all he's got to do is take that old book, pull that thing out, turn to the right page, and say, there it is. There it is, January 22nd, 2017. A preacher preached to you and gave you the gospel. There it is, back there, right there in black and white. You were given a chance to be saved, but you didn't take it. You were given an opportunity to take Christ, but you rejected Him. It's right here in the book. It's documented. Over in Psalm 50, old David was speaking, or literally the Lord was speaking through David. And as he was speaking, the Lord gets to talking there in Psalm 50 about all the secret sins of mankind, all the little dirty things that we like to think about and talk about and say and do when we think nobody's watching. But can I tell you what the Lord said about it when he got to verse 21 there in Psalm 50? There the Lord said, "These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. I didn't punish you for them. I didn't do anything to you. I let you have your own way. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself." You thought I was like you. You thought I approved of your lifestyle. You thought because I didn't punish you immediately that I was never going to punish you at all. But I want you to get a hold of this and get it good. He said, "But I will reprove thee, and I will set them in order before thine eyes." Do you get that? That's the Lord saying, "You wait, y'all listen up now. Don't you bow out right yet. You get a hold of this real good tonight." That was the Lord, not the preacher, the Lord saying that if you choose to die and you choose to reject Christ, He said, "You may think you got away with something. You may think the Lord was okay with how you lived and all you did." He said, "But one of these days, I will reprove you. I'm going to show you were wrong." And He said, "I'll set them." You say, "What's them?" That's the sins. "I will set them before thine eyes. I'll let you see every last thing that I knew that you did." What I'm saying to you, friend, is God has got a library. The Lord has got a library. And He's got in that library a book of direction. But He's got in that library a book of documentation. Now I want to say lastly tonight that in that library, the Lord has got a book of determination. You see, over there in Revelation 20, He didn't stop there. You see, over there in about verse number 12, He said, "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." And a little while later in that same passage, in verse 15, He said, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." See, here's the thing that's hard for a man to get a hold of, is that there is a book of documentation. The Lord does know everything that's gone on in the life of a lost man. But that ain't why you're going to wind up in hell. That isn't why you'll wind up in a lake of fire if you die lost. No, there's really only one determining factor. That's why there's a book of determination. You say, what was it? It doesn't have to do with the book that has all your sins recorded. It has to do with a book as to whether it has your name recorded. Did you notice that's what Moses was saying back there in Exodus 32? Did y'all just happen to catch on to that? Moses got in there. He didn't say, "Lord, blot all my sins and blot all my transgressions out of your book." That's a different book. He said, "Lord, if it be so, blot my name out of thy book that thou hast written." And the Lord, rather than say, "Moses, I don't know what you're talking about. Moses, what do you mean?" The Lord said, "I do have a book just like that." He said, "But I'll choose whose name gets blotted out. I'll be the one to decide what happens in my book." You say, what book is that? That's none other than the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only thing that determines whether a man's name is in that book or not, the only thing that determines whether your name is in that book or not, is what have you done with Jesus Christ? Have you believed on Him or have you rejected Him? Have you trusted Him to save you from your sins? Ever have you trusted yourself and your righteousness and your religion and your ways? I tell you, friend, there is a book of determination. I want to say tonight, friend, that if your name is in that book, you have nothing to fear from the book of documentation. I'm saying tonight that when the Lord looks back at that old book of documentation, that second one we talked about, can I say tonight when He looks at Morgan Lester, if the Lord just so happened to say, you know what, and I know it ain't just like this, I know, y'all bear with me, I'm making it easy to understand for you. But if the Lord just so happened to say to Himself, I'd like to check up on that old Morgan Lester fellow and make sure he's doing all right over there. And he got to pulling out that book of documentation. You know, from your all's perspective and from my perspective, I'm in a world of hurt. Because I tell you what, friend, I've sinned today. I sinned yesterday. And unless the Lord somehow takes me on home, I'm probably going to sin tomorrow too. I'm telling you, friend, I sinned before I got saved. And I've sinned even more after I got saved than I ever did before I got saved. And you say, well, then won't the Lord look at that book of documentation? You said, preacher, He's got perfect documentation. He's got perfect records. Won't He see it? No, sir. Hey, no, ma'am. Because praise God, since I got my name in that book of determination, I don't have to worry about the book of documentation anymore. I don't have to worry about that record. You say, why? Because when the Lord goes to look in that book of documentation, He goes to look at that old record. He sees in there that Morgan Lester ceased to live all the way back in his bed one night as a little teenage boy. You say, why? Morgan's dead. Morgan's dead and his life is hid with Christ in God, according to that Bible. And you know what it says somewhere, right? There's a little note probably. I don't know how it is, but there's probably a little note in that little that book of documentation. And it probably written right off there to the side by the Holy Spirit. It said right there, Morgan stopped right here, but we found a payment for everything that occurred before and everything that occurred after. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed him from all sin. I'm saying tonight, friend, praise God. Since I got my name in the right book, I don't have to worry about the other book any longer. Since I got my name written down, the blood took care of all my past and all my present and all my future. I say to you tonight, friend, if you're sitting here, maybe you're lost. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you will do tomorrow. All that matters is what will you do with Jesus Christ. Salvation is so simple. You either choose to accept Him or you choose to reject Him. You either choose to believe on Him or you choose to doubt Him. But I'll say to you, friend, the great determiner, the great thing that will determine whether you spend eternity in the glories of God's presence or whether you spend eternity in an eternal lake of fire, the great determining factor is what have you done with Christ? I'll say this and I'll be done. We'll get ready to have a time of invitation. Over in Luke chapter 10, Jesus was speaking to His disciples. And His disciples, they were talking back to Him and they were telling Him of all the amazing things they'd been able to see while they were out serving Him. They'd gone two by two throughout all the land of Judea and Samaria. They'd gone from city to city. They'd seen the sick have their health restored in Jesus' name. They'd seen the dead raised to life again in Jesus' name. They'd seen souls saved. They'd seen people come to the place of salvation in Jesus' name. But I tell you what they were the most excited about. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. We can command them and they'll get out of a fella. We can say to that old devil, come out of him, and they'll get out of that child. Lord, we've got the power of God on us. And they were excited. They were rejoicing. They were getting real loud and having themselves a good old-fashioned camp meeting. And about that time, Jesus said, I have something to say, fellas. I don't want to rain on your parade. I don't want to put a wet blanket on you. But let me remind you all of something. Can I tell you what He said? Jesus said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. In other words, I know it seems like a big deal to y'all right now, but listen, the fact that the devils are subject unto you and the spirits are subject unto you, that ain't all that big a deal in the whole scheme of things. Can I tell you what he said last? But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
He said, you want to know what's truly special? You know what's going to make a difference? You want to know what's going to make a difference for all of eternity? I'll tell you what. Your name's in one of my books. Your name's in my book. And he said, if your name's in my book, you have all that you need to rejoice. I'll say to you tonight, friend, the Lord has got himself a library. I'm glad tonight that this Bible I'm preaching to you from, it's not man's book. It's not mankind's book, though it's written to mankind. This is God's book. This King James Bible right here, it's God's book. And I'm thankful I can treat it as such tonight. Friend, God's got a book. He's got lots of books. But is your name in the book of life? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Maybe you haven't. Why don't you come tonight? Why don't you allow me to take God's book, God's precious Word, and show you how you can know, not just wonder, not just wish, not just hope, but know that you have eternal life. You can know it, friend. I can show you how. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're saved. You know you're saved. Thank the Lord for it. But maybe you've just gotten away from this Bible. Maybe you've quit reading it. Maybe you are reading it, but you're just not getting anything from it. Can I say that ain't the Bible's fault? That's our fault if we don't get anything from it. Maybe you need to come tonight and find a place on the altar and say, Lord, give me back my hunger for your book. Lord, give me back that desire, that burden for the words of the Lord. Give them back, Lord. I believe He'll do that, don't you?
Amen.
I believe if you'd ask Him, and you'd ask Him sincerely, I believe He'd do that.
Amen.
But if you're sitting here tonight and this message is spoken to your heart, and Lord's shown you your need, why don't you be obedient to Him and come? Father, I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word. I pray now, Lord, that You'll take it. Take this message, use it to convict us and to draw us unto Yourself. Lord, bless tonight in this time of invitation. Draw people unto Jesus, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it and for His sake. Amen and amen. As we sing, if the Lord has dealt with your heart tonight, why don't you come?